We good? Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before you now, and we're grateful for this time of worship. I'm grateful to reconnect with friends, Lord. I'm grateful for just the idea that we are that we're here and we get a chance to hear from you. God, I pray now that you will help us. Help us to hear your voice above all the voices that come crowding in. Jesus, I pray for those of us who follow you that we'll begin to understand that you're not finished with us, that you're leading us into this world. For those who do not know you yet, I pray that they'll begin to understand that you have a plan and a place for them in your story. Help us now to listen well, give us sharp minds. God, help us now to enter into a pretty atypical conversation for churches. But Lord, I know you've led us to this moment, so please help us now. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen. Okay, so if you're with us, one of the first things I would tell you is that welcome. If this is your first time here, welcome. If it's been a while since you've been back, welcome. If you were here last week, welcome. We're in the middle of a series called On the Edge, and this series has to do with, like, if life is on the edge, like if we're in this world that is on the edge, it's on the edge of a lot of things, we want to know how to live. And so one of the things we've said is that God's not overwhelmed with this. God is leading us into this. And so if we're on the edge of this, we want to do it well. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32 has been sort of our launching pad. It's a pivotal time in the history of Israel. We've gone over this every week. But there were people from one of the ancient tribes. These were the sons of Issachar, and they understood their times. They understood the signs of their times, and they knew how Israel was to proceed. The application for us is these are people who understood their world and knew how to move forward. We want to be those kind of people. So last week we had an interesting conversation about artificial intelligence. And for those of you who are in the field, still hearing from you this week, thank you. It's been fun. People, students that are in the field, thank you. It's a good thing. And if you didn't get to see that, I think we've got something up there. You can use the resources in the app. And we just want to keep giving you really easy ways to use this stuff, this technology. But that you should probably go back and look at that because we're going to build on that a little bit now. You see, I want to talk to you today about those pesky algorithms and how it is that they keep this world churned up even more than it already is. But along the way, because just like last week, we don't want this to be a TED Talk. We want this to be more than a TED Talk. So don't be surprised every now and then if we drop scripture in. Scripture's going to be our anchor points throughout. It's going to be our way of saying, whoa, okay, that's the wisdom. That's what we needed. So let's start with one. Here we go. Proverbs 18:21. This is a scripture that we come back to again and again. It's just really important. The word says that our words have the power of life and death. Now let's just understand what that is and what it isn't. Sometimes you will hear from people that, that means that God's handcuffed to my words. If I say something, then he's got to do it. If I claim it, God's got to do it. That is simply not what scripture says. I want us to be real careful here. He is Almighty God. The scriptures tell us he's the one who stretches out the starry host, the sky, with his hands. He's the one, poetically, we're told, he's the one who carves the depth of the oceans. He's the one who breathes life into humanity. He is Adonai El Elyon, the Most High Lord. He is Adonai Tzevayot, the Lord of Hosts, the Ancient of Days. He's Almighty God. He's not going to be handcuffed to the words of frail children of dust, as one of the old hymns goes. Now, in his amazing generosity and in the way that he's wanting the story to unfold, he has given us, we who have these mouths that he's created, he has given us the ability to speak and to communicate. And the words that we use, they really can help and they can breathe life, or they can get in the way of what God is still up to in this world. Which now leads me to a question that I'm going to ask. But when I ask the question, it's going to sound really familiar to some of you because it is connected to a book and it's connected to a chapter in a book. If you want to go deeper, yeah, it's a book that I wrote. Yep, there's the app again. Yep, you can do that. And some of you who are new are going, ooh, that's really creepy. He's selling his own books in church. Let me help you with that if you're new. I don't own the intellectual property to any of my books. Like the royalties, the stuff that comes from the publishers, it didn't come to me. It goes directly into the ministries of this church. I get why you would want to know that, so I want you to know that. So that means you should go out and buy like copies for 12 or 15 of your closest friends now. Because it all goes back into the ministry, not to helping me build a lake house, okay? So just, I just wanna let all of that just, well, that's all gone, okay? But the reason I mention it at all is because when I say this, some of you are going to remember and go, oh yeah, I remember reading that in that chapter. Here it is. Do your words, speaking of words, do your words make Statler and Waldorf proud? Do y'all remember who Statler and Waldorf are? Let me help some of you. Of a certain age, you might remember. It's these guys. They're the angry Muppets in the balcony. Now, if you don't know them, go look them up. They're in commercials. They're all over the place. Here's the thing about these guys. They're sarcastic. They make fun of people. They mock them. They're constantly just throwing one-liners off the edge of the balcony. That's just what they do. And sometimes it's actually hilarious until it gets up close and personal. You see, the question I really want to ask is the balcony getting crowded? Is anyone else noticing that in our world, we've just gotten really good at critiquing each other and just throwing firebombs at each other from a distance? And I think that we who follow Jesus, I just want to talk to you first. I think we are one snarky comment, one ugly post away from turning into an angry Muppet in the balcony. Now, I want you to understand as we go through this that I get why we feel some of these emotions. In fact, I want you to turn to some people around you now, and here's the conversation starter. Are your words these days, and we all go through seasons, but are your words these days, are they more life-giving or life-draining? Now, go on ahead and talk to some people around you, and if you know them, remember, when you tell them this, they're the ones who hear those words, so be honest. If you're new and no one around you, like you don't know anyone, this is the perfect time to eavesdrop. Just jump into the conversation. Okay, I'm gonna interrupt that conversation. You're gonna get a chance to continue it in just a minute. But here's the deal. I can only imagine that some of us, when we're talking about this, we go, yeah, my words kind of do have an edge these days because I'm so upset. I see stuff happening in the world. Something's on my newsfeed. I just watched this thing on YouTube and Greg, I am so upset. That might have been you. But let's take it a little bit further. Sometimes what people will then say is, listen, when I post that thing, when I blast out that thing on whatever platform I'm on, I'm just trying to push back darkness, Greg. I'm trying to put, and then you fill in the blank, I'm trying to put them in their place. And what I want to like respectfully ask you is that doing any good? I mean, first of all, is it doing your insides any good? Do we even understand what happens when we scream from the balcony? If we're gonna be people who understand our times on this edge and understand how to proceed, then we need to understand how the technology works and we need to understand how it works on us. So here we go. Just hang with me for just a second. Google, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you name it, news feeds, they all want the same thing from you. And they will even use this word. If you get into this business, this is the word, engagement. They want to up engagement. Now, what does that mean? That means that they want you to retweet, to repost, to share, to interact. They want you on their, like their platform as long as possible, because the longer you're there, the more ads they can show you, and the more money they can make. Gang, I'm just telling you, that is the bottom line how this works. That's what's monetizing all of this. And the way they keep you there is they show you things that will interest you in one way or the other. Like, they'll show you things that you like, but what they have also found is if they show you things that really upset you, you'll stay there as well. Because now you're gonna go down that rabbit hole and, ooh, I hate this. They don't care. They just want you there because the longer you're there, the more they make. Does that make sense? Now, the question you ought to be asking now is, well, how do they know me? Well, we live in an era where it's all happening, and they're getting everything. They know they know who your friends are because you've got them on your various pages and platforms. They know how you spend money. They even know, like, how slowly, like, what image are you actually hesitating and looking at when you're scrolling through? All of that stuff gets gobbled up, digested by these algorithms. Now, what's an algorithm? I've already used that word a couple of times. Well, the simplest way to say, first of all, algorithms, they've been there for centuries. Please don't think this is a new thing. Algorithms, if you're like a math person, then you know algorithms. It's simply a set of instructions to help you solve a problem. But when we talk about, like, Instagram's algorithms, first of all, they're not going to share them with you, but don't think of it as a flow chart. Think of it as all of this code that has been written, all of this artificial intelligence that is now figuring you out. And it's gobbling up all the details of you because it wants to put you in a profile and in a box so that it knows who you are. Anybody here, we still say it, we're just amazed at the, like, that ad, they knew what I was thinking. They sent me that product. We were just talking. You know how this works, right? All that is out there, they're paying attention to everything you are so that they can churn it all back up and give it back to you. Now, I want to just say this. Not all of the information that comes to you, can we just say we do some of this? Like, we go out and we look for certain things. Researchers talk about selective exposure. Now, what they mean by that is, you and I, human nature, we're just going to go to the things that we like, including people. I'm going to go to the sites. I like what they say. I agree with that. I'm going to go there. I like you. You agree with me. I'm going to hang out with you. And so that's a part of it. But I want you to understand that there is a process that is also happening on the backside of this phone, that all of these things are happening. Now, how is all of this getting to you? How does this work? We think it's magic. I'm telling you, some of it, well, let's just do this. It can be any number of things, and these are just a few of them. One guy talks about filter bubbles. So it's gonna grind, like, your search histories, your likes, your dislikes, what you click on, the bait that you take, the bait that you don't take, your relationships, your hobbies, where you went on vacation. It's all out there. And so all of that, your political views, yes, all of those, your age, even the type of computer you use for them gives them an idea you're that kind of person and you think that way. All of it goes into this filter now, and I'm just gonna give you the dumbed down way that Greg can understand this, okay? But all of this goes into a filter now so that then what is presented to me is just for me. It's like a customized version, the information that is coming. And you're going, well, no, I get the exact same things that you do on your phone. No, you don't. It doesn't work that way. Now, at this point, some of you are saying, who cares? I just want to see the things I like. I mean, I just want those things. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. So we get these things, and they're called information bubbles. And so you live in your information bubble, which has like an exaggerated sense of agreement. Everything in your information bubble, your filter bubble, it's like, man, you're just breathing that air because it's like, yes, this is exactly the way I think, and everything agrees with me. Oh, and it gets juiced up with this thing called confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is I go into something, any topic, you pick the topic. Some of you have that one that's just, you're going to be there all day long. So go ahead, just pick that topic. But you already think you know how this works. And so you're just looking for somebody to agree with you. And when you find that story, when you find that product, when you find that product review, when you find whatever it is, boom, I knew I was right. That's confirmation bias. Now, just so we're all clear, as long as I'm just like, you know, offending all of us at once, we all have this. I'm not saying that you can take that away. I'm just saying be aware of it as you go forward. But even now, so we like being around people that we like. We like hearing things that we like to hear. I don't want to be challenged by things. Greg, life's complicated enough. Who cares? What, can't I just do this? Gang, I want you to understand that part of what's happening behind the screen is that you and I are being steered towards articles, towards sources, towards information, towards people, towards things that some people back here think that you need to go to. I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here. This is how it works. Go look it up on your own. Still, some of you are going, so what? I like my filter bubble. I agree with me. Any of the information that gets in here agrees with me. Life is too ugly out there. I'm just gonna live in this filter bubble and it's all good, Greg. Lighten up, right? The problem I have with being steered into a filter bubble is this, John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Jesus is looking at his disciples. This is post-resurrection, and he is looking at them and saying, y'all are it. You're gonna be the carriers of grace. You're gonna be the proclaimers of the gospel. You're gonna be the difference makers. You're gonna be the ones that push back darkness. It's gonna be me, and it's gonna be the power of the Holy Spirit in you, Jesus is saying, but you're gonna be it. And so he says, as the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending you. Do you know what that means? Jesus is sending you into the world. So my problem, the thing that I wanna be thinking about when I'm just enjoying life in my filter bubble, is that I don't wanna be steered into a bubble when the King of Kings sent me into the world. You see, if I just live in this bubble, I am less likely to bump into people who need the hope that I have found. Oh, and if I do bump into them, I'm not ready to talk to them because they're gonna disagree with me. And when you disagree with me, now I'm anxious and now I'm angry and now I'm thinking of ways to win the argument and I'm not even listening to you, I'm interrupting you. And that never ends well. Jesus has sent us into the world, which means we just gotta be careful about our filter bubbles. Now, another way to think about it is echo chambers. How many of you have heard the term echo chambers? We've heard the term. Let's understand what it is. I just love going into caves or big spaces with hard, like surfaces. You can't resist, right? If you go into a cave and you're allowed, what do? Hello? Hello? Anybody there? It's pretty awesome. I'm the king of the world. It's kind of fun to hear your voice coming back to you. You see, in an echo chamber, it's just me. And people like me. And watch this. People who like me. And so when I'm in an echo chamber, it's all about me. Hey, Greg, you're great. I like the way you think. You're right. Way to go. Keep it up. Greg, this is the way we should live. I love this. We're all in here together. Let's have a party. Now, let's go on ahead and stop this because it's even getting on my nerves at this point. But my point is, in an echo chamber, it's your opinions, it's your truth, it's your stuff that's kind of coming out, and that's what's bouncing back to you. Now, here's the trap. When you're in an echo chamber, there are higher levels of agreement and much lower levels of disagreement. It's kind of like a filter bubble. And the trap gets set when one of us on a social platform in an echo chamber, or maybe in person, says something really ugly about that other person or that other side to the story or that other side to the issue. And everybody else in the echo chamber agrees, and they give you an attaboy or an attagirl. Oh, that was ugly. That was a funny zinger. Way to go. What that is, that's a reward. Like you're reinforcing that ugly behavior. So now I'm going to do it again. And then you're going to see that, and you're going to do it. And before you know it, the trap is set. And we are constantly back and forth, bouncing off of the walls of our echo chamber, just convincing ourselves how smart we are and how right we are. And before too long, what happens is we can't even imagine any sane person, much less a Jesus-loving person, who could be anything unlike us. You see, they got to think like me. There's no way somebody could disagree with me. And that's the trap that gets set in an echo chamber. Okay, I just want you to know as we go through this that when we talk about the words that are coming out of us, we need to know that this gets manipulated by technology and these algorithms. And I just want you to be aware of it. The words that come out of our mouth, I know we think we're trying to do good, but when we're screaming from the balcony, we're not changing the world. And we're not even really talking to people who are that different from us. Usually when we scream from the balcony, we're talking to a Muppet that's just three or four seats down from us in the same balcony. There's a different way for us to do this. There's a different way for us to interact with each other. There's a different way. I promise you, who this is serving the most are the companies that are manipulating all of this and turning it back on us. And they don't care about you. They don't care about your life. They don't care about the kingdom. They don't care about your place in God's story. So for us, if we're going to be people who understand our times and how to live in them, what are we to do? This is the place where if you were with us last week, this is where some of you are going, oh, finally, here we go. He's about to tell us to run to the hills, throw away our iPhones, wear the sackcloth, and eat the dirt. Remember last week when we said that? No, I'm not going to say it this week. I'm not a hater of social media. I love some of the things that happen on social media. The way that it connects us, the way that it organizes and rallies us around a cause, the way that it makes us laugh, the way that it makes us, it inspires us sometimes. I love all of that. But we got to be really smart here. So what do? Because we don't want to be angry Muppets in the balcony. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus says something as he's sending these disciples out. It's the 12, and he's sending them on a short-term mission trip. And he says something really interesting, and we love part of it, and we don't know what to do with the other part of it. Here it is. He says, as he's sending them out into a world that's hostile to his gospel, he says, you be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. Now, we love the part of being, you know, gentle and pure like doves. We have no idea what to do with this serpent business because we don't want to be associated with serpents. We remember the Garden of Eden story. We don't like snakes. The whole thing seems weird. What's Jesus doing here? Well, it's a simile. He's just giving us something. You be like them. In what way? A serpent was thought of, a snake was thought of as being pretty wise, pretty smart, pretty aware of its surroundings. And you can't trap a snake very well. It seems weird for Jesus to say that we should be like that, but what Jesus is saying here is, you be wise. Be so wise that you don't fall into the traps and trenches that have been dug by the enemy. Oh, yeah, and be gentle. So if we're going to do both of those, then how do we do that? I'm now going to just bust through some thoughts for you. I'm going to give them to you in bullet point form, okay? Now, for some of you, this is your day because you dream in bullet point form. You've been waiting for me to preach in bullet point form. Here you go. Mark the day. This is yours. Congratulations. I'm going to give these to you, and then we're going to, well, and then we'll be done. Okay, so here it is. Here it is. First one, watch your diet. You're like, well, that seems personal. No, I don't mean that diet. I mean, watch your daily consumption of media. Watch your daily consumption of information. I'm not going to bore you with the difference between a terabyte and a zettabyte. I'm just going to tell you that the world is producing more data than we can even imagine. So, of course, there's no way that you can consume it all. Out of habit and convenience, you're saying, I got to pick my sources for my news, for my this, for my that. I get it. We all do. But when there's a real issue, like something that it's there, right, for all of us, I want to suggest to you that you need more than a headline or an angry tweet to get you through. Let me put it to you this way. If we're talking about diets, can we all agree that fast food is not a good long-term strategy for a healthy diet. Okay, I got one yes. I don't know what the rest of you are eating throughout your week, but you don't want fast food to be the long-term strategy for your diet. Why? It's not healthy. It's not good. It'll satisfy your hunger for a while, but it's not the best way. When there are certain issues and certain stories and certain things that are brewing, you don't want to just subsist on a headline and think you got the whole story. You don't want to just take a little nibble out of an angry post and go, oh, well, now I know. No, it's worth you chewing on it a little bit more and getting a little bit deeper into it. So watch your diet. And speaking of diets, let me tell you this. Every now and then, a fast is healthy. Healthy. In these days where you are rumbling and rolling and going, what do I do? You might need to go on a media fast. You might need to pick that one platform that has got you so turned around and get off of it. You might need to turn your notifications off. Greg, what are you saying? I'm saying, A, the world will go on, and B, you can find ways to stay informed. Now, if you're curious about this and you want to talk about this, we're going to have something called a Think Summit November 7th, another chance for you to see some resources on the app. We have three nationally known authors and professors and thought leaders who are coming together. We talked about TED Talks. These essentially are TED Talks. We have permission from this organization to show these three. One of them is 18 minutes and two of them are 9 minutes. These are people who are saying, this is how you navigate this world as a Christ follower. They're very thought-provoking. We're going to come together around tables. We're going to have pastors there. We're going to have some fun. We're going to stir it up. If you're interested in that, then come on. The next thing I will tell you, though, besides watching your diet is, and this is really implied in all of it, be savvy. Just be savvy. When something comes to you on your newsfeed, ask the next question. How did that get to me? Why did that get to me? And what do they want from me? I'm not saying to be fearful. We don't have to be fearful in this world. But be aware that there are all sorts of things out there that want to squeeze and shape us into the shape of the world. And gang, that's not a new thought. Paul talks about this in Romans 12, and he says, resist that. Do not be squeezed into the mold of the world. So I'm going to hit pause now. I gave you a lot of stuff. Chew on that. Go back, finish your conversations for just a minute. Maybe Romans 12, verse 2 can help with that. But talk to each other about what you've heard, about being squeezed into a mold, about truth, whatever it is. Go ahead and talk to each other for just a second. Give it a go.
If we don't agree on what is true, or that there is such a thing as truth, we're toast. This is the problem beneath other problems, because if we can't agree on what's true, then we can't navigate out of any of our problems.
So it fascinates me. This guy is not a Christ follower, as best I can tell. But what he is saying here is, if we don't agree that there is such a thing as truth, we are toast. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There is such a thing as truth, and we have to get to that. Now, how does Paul say that we resist this squeezing into a shape and a mold and a box? It's the Word of God. We come back and we renew our minds with the Word of God. That's why we do this around here. But friends, I want you to know, as we move forward in this world, truth of itself, truth is going to become a very controversial thing. The idea of saying that there is such a thing as truth. In fact, we're going to get to a place where we can't even all agree on what is true, what is real, what is untrue, what is fake, what is artificial. Even those terms are going to be weaponized. Now, let's just talk for a second about deep learning fakes. Deep learning fakes, we've shortened it now to just deep fakes. Deep fakes, this is AI technology. It's actually being used, and what happens is you capture so many different angles and pictures of someone's face while they're talking, while they're moving around. It's pushed through software. You then film someone who is just doing whatever they're doing, and this software, this technology now morphs that face to where it looks like this famous person. We've all seen this. Some of you have had fun with this with your families, where you've inserted yourself into some famous movie and things like that. You can do that, and it's not been that great, but it is getting better and better. I just want you to know, I'm just going to tell you what drives some of this is the porn industry, as it does a lot of the things that happen. But I want you to know that there are others who are now picking up on it. What you're about to see is not the actor that you think it is. What you're about to see is the result of this AI-assisted technology. So watch this and tell me what you think.
I'm going to show you some magic. It's the real thing. I mean, it's all the real thing.
No, it's not. It's creepy, first of all, but it's not the real thing. And some of you, even after I said that, are going, well, that was Tom Cruise, or that's a guy who looked like Tom Cruise. No, it isn't. If you see the Belgian guy who did all of this, he doesn't look like Tom Cruise. It's the technology that is making that. And you're like, so what? I'm telling you, we're going to get to a place where we have to begin asking questions. What if a world leader supposedly declares war and he or she really didn't? What if someone is placed in a context or a place where they're saying things that they really weren't there and they really didn't say it? Gang, I'm not sharing this with you to freak us out. I'm saying, as Christ followers, we ought to be aware, we ought to be wise, we ought to be smart about these things, which means, next bullet point, you got to do the deep dive. When you come across something that kind of gets your attention, you're like, ooh, what do I do with that? Or maybe it's stirring you up, or maybe you're deep down you're going, wow, can that be true? Go ahead and do the deep dive. Go to other sources. Look at things. Do the research. There are some things in this world that are worth a little research. And by the way, I would suggest maybe go outside of your normal lane just a little bit. Just hear what other people are saying. It's not that where you're getting your information from is all wrong, but it might be incomplete. You might be able to go, oh. So that's how that person thinks. When I do this, and I do this on a regular basis, I pray for God's wisdom and discernment and understanding. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I pray, Lord, keep my blood pressure low. But you start to hear things and you start to learn things. And now, watch this, you're better equipped to not fall into this trap. Don't demonize. Ben, come up here. If when Ben's here, like, I can see his face, I can see the expressions on his face, I can see all this. It's Ben. The further away I get, and let's just go on ahead and say, on technology, you know, on social media platforms, it's face to faceless. I can't see him. He's a long way away, right? And the further away you get from someone, the easier it is. Hey, the easier it is to forget that they're a person. In fact, it's easier to demonize them if they don't agree with you. You start calling them names. They're a monster. They're a this. They're a that. And it's real easy to throw firebombs from somebody at a distance when I forget that he has a name and a story and a family that Jesus died for him. I can do all sorts of things from here. Gang, as followers of Jesus, if that is you, we've got to stop name-calling and blowing each other up on social media because we happen to disagree about something. And we do not get to pronounce damnation on someone because they take a different viewpoint. I don't get to say, well, he's never going to. We don't get to do that. We of all people, do you understand that the technology doesn't care what we say? It just wants to keep us engaged. Don't play the game. This is dividing families. It's dividing communities, neighborhoods, offices, churches, countries. We of all people ought to be the ones who can navigate this better. I think we should remember the words of Jesus' little brother, half-brother technically. James writes these words, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. One of the things we teach around here is this. When you get all riled up and you're getting ready to put it out there, take a beat. Breathe, pause, think about it, pray about it. You might delete the whole text. You might delete the whole email. You might delete the whole post. You might tweak it. I'm just saying, if it's really important, it's worth saying with care. See, if James was alive today, I wonder if he wouldn't add a little bit more to it. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and slower still to tweet, post, comment, or hit send. We of all people can do this. Let's understand that our rage is being churned up, repackaged, repurposed, and fed right back to us. And we got to break out of the game. We of all people can do this differently. We of all people can resist the temptation to blow somebody up, to make fun of somebody just because they disagree with us about X issue. You want to make a difference in this world? Pay attention to that passion. I'm telling you, this world is worth our passion and our concerns and our prayers. I'm not saying to not have any of that. I'm saying pay attention to it and then do something with it. Like if you've got an issue that you're like, oh, this one really burdens me, here's the next bullet point for you. Jump out of the balcony. Not you guys. But really what I'm saying is you get down into the like where God's still at work, where God's doing something. You're not just throwing opinions from here. You're quietly excusing yourself from the balcony and saying, wait, God, I want to join you in this thing. You're still up to something. So I want to get out here and see what you're doing. And by the way, the closer I get to the playing field, now, even if I have this filter bubble, thank you, brother. Even if I have this filter bubble, even whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm now about to get up next to people who might not think like me. We might agree on Jesus. We might get stuff done in this world. But you and I have different perspectives and different thoughts. And all of a sudden, I'm not saying my stance changes, but my words change. And they get softer. And get this, they become more effective. One of my favorite passages Paul gives us about this is in Colossians 4. So here it is. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. What does that mean? It means when you're around people who are not believers, just be really smart, be wise. You've got an opportunity, don't waste it. And then these words. Let your speech be always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And that first part we understand, be gracious. That second part of like salt in your language, what is that? Well, it's a saying, it's an idiom. And in those days, there were ancient writers who would use salt as an example of spicing up your conversation with wit. You know what Paul is really saying here? If you're gonna hang out with people, be wise. Know how you're gonna answer them. Let your words be dripping with grace and like wit, like be clever, be winsome, be funny, be real. Oh yeah, and be gentle and kind and gracious and watch what God does. Last bullet point. protect your family. I'm about to, like, teenagers, you're not gonna stay with me for a second. This technology, this development, all of this stuff that's going on, and we had no idea how powerful it was. I guarantee you, Steve Jobs in January of 2007, when he announced to the world, hey, look at this thing, he had no idea. We have given this to people who may not be ready for it. I'm not sure we're ready for it. Now listen to me. I am not now going to make fun of teenagers. I hear people do that, and it breaks my heart when people say, oh yeah, teenagers, you know, they're in that hormone stage and ooh, and all of that. Do you have any idea how much courage it takes to be a teenager today? I guarantee you, teenagers today burn up more courage than the rest of us have in a lifetime because of what they have to navigate. Come on. And what we've done is we've given them this juiced up tool that is so powerful, and it's being leveraged against the next generation. That documentary, and I'm not saying you have to go see it at all. I'm not saying I agree with it at all. There are the disclaimers. But it's fascinating that you're looking at the architects of all of the platforms that we're talking about. All of the famous ones are in there. And somewhere along the way, they ask most of these men and women, so what about you parenting-wise? What do you do with your kids? And almost to a person, they say, I don't let my kids on that. I know the game. I know what we're doing. Now, gang, you got to hear me. I'm not saying to take your phones away from your kids. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, can you have these conversations? Because it is being leveraged against them. There's a dopamine hit every time you hear the ding, every time there's a like, every time there's a nice comment about the photo that you took forever to stage. When you get that comment, there's a dopamine is the pleasure hormone. Dopamine is what's released in the brain when you have a connection with another person. So in that moment, when you hear the ding, when something happens, that is a moment where you are believing, I just made a connection. No, you didn't. And it fades. And it's a lie. But watch this. We chase after that hit. Because the brain chemistry is altering, and this whole thing has the smack of addiction to it. So we chase after it, all of us. There's all sorts of people talking about this. Somebody said there was a morning show that spent like a whole lot of time on this. I'm just telling you, one study said that 57% of teenagers hide some of their online activity from their parents. I understand that. But they're going deeper and deeper and deeper into the night. They're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And does anybody remember what it was like to be an adolescent? The questions, the doubts, the fears, the longings, the insecurities. It's hard enough. And now this? Gang, the prefrontal lobe of their brains is not fully formed yet. The prefrontal lobe is where attention span, short-term memory, decision-making, regulation of emotions, all of this happens here. Now, teenagers, stay with me, because I am not saying this is on you. I'm saying, by the way, it's not just teenagers. The prefrontal lobe is forming and growing until you're about 25. Some people say for men, some of the research says it's more like 30. I know you think that's a joke, and it's not. It explains a lot of my early days, but that's not a joke. Here's my point to you. Here's my point to you. Those teenagers are a work of art. And y'all are in process. You ever hung around one? They have the quirkiest insights that we would never think of. They're amazing. You should hang out with them more. But we have given them this hyper connection to a world that wakes up every morning thinking, I want to sell you on this. I want you to buy this. I want you to listen to this. I want to sell you on this way of life. I want to convince you that you can give away your innocence. I want to convince you that those lines, they can be blurred. I want to tell you that you don't have the right body shape, and you got to do this to be cool, and you got to be this to be accepted. And I'm telling you, They're overwhelmed with it. And then in the middle of that, they get that one comment, that one brutal thing from somebody that goes right to their heart and it crushes the soul. 11 studies compiled together say that 27% of teenagers have experienced cyberbullying. 27%. Same study, 16% said they actually did the bullying. But gang, I want to just say, if that's you, there's a better way. But I don't know what happened. I don't know if you're doing this out of your fear, out of your anger. I'm just saying your insecurity. Maybe somebody did this to you. There's a better way. Don't do that. Come talk to somebody. Talk to your parents. Talk to one of the youth pastors around here. There's a better way. But if you're in the middle of that right now, I want you to hear you are not alone. And the world is telling you that you've got to look this way and sound this way, or you don't matter to anyone. And those are lies from the evil one who wants to grind you into the ground. Don't believe it. You are a work of art. Yes, you are in process. But man, God knows you. He knows what his plans are for you. He loves you. And here's what I would say. Let's have those conversations with our kids. Some of you are rolling your eyes maybe and thinking, oh, cyberbullying back in the day. This is what we did. Listen to me. You have no idea the pressure that they are under. What about us as a church now coming together and saying, we're going to remind everyone that you bear the image of God? What if we come together and say, you know what? You do matter. And God's still up to something. What if we cried out to the God who made us? What if it even had a little bit of attitude to it? What if we started our own revolution and said, we're just not going to be squeezed into the mold of the world? Gang, I want you to hear me. There's a better way. And it could start right now.
You know where I've been, 'cause you were there as well. And you know who I'll be before I get there. And you know what's hidden, the shame behind the veil. And you know the real me when I don't know. Through
So I'm going to ask you again. First of all, it's so good to have you with us. Oh, it's just brilliant. The line, I want to get it right. The one I was asking you about.
I'll give my life, won't let it be stolen.
I'll give my life, I won't let it be stolen. Let's remember that. Gang, as we move forward now, let's just keep loving on each other. Next week, we're going to talk about anxiety. What does God say in these anxious times? You know someone that needs to be here. But I'm going to ask us now, let's be smart. Let's be wise. Let's be gentle. Let's be aware. Let's just be the people who do this better than anybody else in the world because God has empowered us. And let's be committed to loving each other and encouraging others. So let's be honest. Let's not be fearful, let's be courageous. And let's be constantly, constantly, constantly focused on this Jesus who will lead us through all of this. So thank you for all of this. I want to toss this to the sites now so that you can tell your folks goodbye. But for those of you who are here, let's keep this conversation going. Let's see where God leads us together. Father, we're grateful now that we get to open your word, and in the middle of a world that is, it just seems so futuristic, we can barely keep up. I'm so grateful that you're in that future waiting for us, and I pray that you'll keep leading us and you'll keep showing us. May we not only understand our times, but may we be the people who know how to navigate those times. But we'll keep our eyes on you, Jesus. So bless these people, bless conversations that now happen. We ask all of this in the strong, the mighty, the healing, victorious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.